Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is Jesus' words about love in the gospel lesson. Well, a Sunday school teacher was giving a lesson on love, and so she asked her students, "What is love?" And one little girl raised her hand, and the teacher called upon her, and she said, "Love is when your daddy reads you a bedtime story." The teacher said, "Yes," and then, but she continued to go on. She said, "True love is when he doesn't skip any of the pages." The little girl understood love involves action. That where there is love, there is action. There cannot be love without action. And that's really what our Lord is getting at today. As he spoke through the Apostle John in the epistle lesson, and as he speaks directly to the apostles and to you and to me, he describes love. And he describes it as something that he has done for us and which he calls us to do for one another. So the focus is love. And it's really a great text for us today, because today is Confirmation Day. While it's not in this service, it's in the second service. But I think every year that the rite of confirmation comes, it's a reminder of our own confirmation, our own promises, and our own call to be a follower of God. And what really Confirmation Day is a celebration of God's love. Love for those who we've called to be part of his kingdom, and the response that those who are called give back to God, a response of love. So with this in mind, we're going to go back over our words of our Lord's, or look to the words of our Lord's, to give us a description of what love is, and especially what true love is. Now again, as we approach the gospel lesson here, we need to keep in mind the context. This is Maundy Thursday. Jesus has celebrated the Passover with the disciples. We know what's going to happen the next day. He's going to give up his life on the cross. It's in this context of a wonderful expression of love that Jesus speaks to the disciples and first of all describes his love and calls upon them to love one another. But notice how Jesus describes his love. As he speaks about his love, he compares it to the love that he has for the Father. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And so he compares the love that he has for them as the love that the Father has for him. But in so doing, he mentions that this love that the Father has for him is tied to his action. That love is not what the world tells us, an emotion or a feeling, but love ultimately is an action. When he speaks about the love the Father has for him, he says, "I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Obedience and love are tied together. That the Father sent the Son to bring salvation to humanity. And as part of his love for his Father, the Lord completed that task. But he also goes on to describe his love as not only like the love of the Father, but he also describes love as a sacrificial thing. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." Isn't that exactly what our Lord did on the cross? This is how he would bring about salvation. He would go to the cross and take upon himself the sins of the entire world, and he would pay the price for those sins so that all humanity could be set free. And he rose from the dead, reminding them that in him is life, and all who believe in him have that promise that they too will rise. But this is a sacrificial action, is it not? To go to the cross, to lay down your life. Love is seen in action, and it's sacrifice. It's putting the needs of the world and humanity above the needs of himself. But he also describes his love for the disciples when he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." As our Lord continues the description of love, he speaks about it as a friendship, that we are not just his servants, which is even less than we deserve, more than we deserve, but he is our friend. And isn't it interesting what he highlights about that friendship? Is that a friend isn't kept in the dark. A friend, it is revealed to him who he is and was planned. And again, notice the action of our Lord. He shows his love for you in revealing himself
in coming to you. That's what he's doing this morning. As we gather around his word, the Lord is here and he is revealing himself as the one who suffered, died, and rose. And he reveals himself as the host of our meal, and he gives of himself his body and blood. He reveals everything to us, our life and salvation. Isn't this an amazing love that we have from the Lord? A love like that of the Father, a love that is sacrificial, a love that is like a friend. And what truly is amazing, we deserve none of it. We deserve absolutely none of it. And we see this when we look at our love, right? That the whole context here, our Lord is speaking about the fact that he loves us and so we are to love. And are we not reminded of how we fail to do that? We're to love God and we're to love our neighbor. Again, there needs to be action, right? If we're going to love the Lord, what are the actions? Does it include prayer, worship, study of the scriptures? Who amongst us has a lifestyle that is truly one of a constant prayer to God that the scriptures call for? Who amongst us has a devotion life that you're proud of and can point out to God and see how well I've done? Who amongst us have done the things toward God in prayer and God's study and in worship and in devotion and all these things the way that we truly should? We have failed in our actions. And we are to love others as well. And again, here he says, love one another, but we know in the context of Scripture that it's not just limited to those who are like us and fellow Christians who love us, but the love that we are to have for our neighbor includes everyone, does it not? Our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, those who disagree. And again, we love in action. How have your actions been towards your family, towards your friends, your co-workers, your enemies? What have you done and what have you said that communicates that you love them? Is this not a reminder of how far we have fallen in what God expects and demands? And doesn't it make it even more amazing that the Lord would love us? Because again, when we go back to the text, we see that the Lord's command is that we are to demonstrate our love for one another. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's what we are called to do. We are called to obedience, that our love for the Lord is to be seen in our obedience. And it's a response. It's a response to the love that God has given us. Think back to your confirmation. What questions were you asked? It's a description of the Christian life, is it not? There's really two types of questions that we ask at confirmation that we'll do in the next service. We'll ask those questions that are the content of the faith, right? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Or do you hold the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? Do you believe what God has revealed about himself and that this revelation in the scriptures is truly the inerrant word of God, where God makes known his plan and who he is? Do you believe those things? But then we also have the questions of action. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Out of your love for the Lord, having been loved by God, are you going to crave? Are you going to starve for his word and his sacrament and all that he has to offer? At confirmation, we're asked, do you intend to live according to the word of God? It really comes down to understanding how much the Lord has done for us and how he has loved us and our desire to follow his direction, to follow his commandments, to follow his word is an expression of our love toward the Lord. And the Lord is the one who brings it about. And all of this love is to be sacrificial. Again, remember what Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for the friends. That we see in our Lord such a great and unconditional love that we are filled and directed to set aside our own desires and our own goals at times to provide for the needs of our friends, our family, and even our enemies. This is the love that we're inspired to, a sacrificial love to set aside our things. This is the kindness that we want to see. When we put this all together, it can be overwhelming, can it not? We see that all the Lord has called upon us to do becomes overwhelming when we realize we haven't always done it. We struggle with it. But again, keep in mind, the Lord still loves you. As we hear these things, when we realize we fail, we go back to Him. In this beautiful, unconditional love that receives us back, and He forgives us once again. He never tires of offering His forgiveness, of setting us right before Him. And the beautiful thing is, not only does He forgive us, but He fills us again with His love. And He sets us on our way again with that love to share with one another. It's a continual action of returning to the Lord and being set free and being put forward by the Lord to live out that life once again. That as often as we return to the cross, we are filled with His love and we are inspired and enabled to love the Lord and to love our neighbor. Again, it's all tied together. The Lord has loved you and He enables you to love Him. We simply share what we have received. Again, when we look at the text today, it really looks at that question, what is love? But elsewhere in the Bible, the Lord gives us even a more simple definition. It says, God is love. And we see that, right? We see His love and what He's done for us. We see His love and His death and His resurrection. We see His love as He comes to us today. We see His love in His announcement that we belong to Him. We continue to see His love daily in all that He does. And we know that this love never comes to an end. That His love is for us now, and it is for us eternally. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.